sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Check, check, check. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. All right, lights, please. All right, little in my headphones, little fine tune in my headphones, little my multi bass, the headphones, multi volume. All right. Okay, let's go. When the streets is watching, blocks keep clocking, waiting for you to break, make your first mistake, can't ignore it. Cumbayo, 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 you know what I mean, you know what time it is. All right, okay, cut it out, okay. Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzak, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. I'm going to try not being so close to the microphone, because, for stabilities. Now, before I continue with today's show, today's episode, I want to remind you returning listeners that this podcast is still protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on May 17, 2023. What is it? 6:27 p.m. Mentioned it's a Wednesday. And it's kind of fucking cold. Kind of cold in this in the area. I'm wearing a toque right now. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff. Record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yeah. Okay. Today's episode, I'm going to, for this little intro, I'm going to read off a few quotes that, not just two quotes that I shared. But actually, before I start, on the last episode, I shared a quote by, a clip by Tupac in the intro. And I forgot to mention, realizing the real reason why I shared that quote is for there's a line in there where he says, God has cursed me to see what life should be like. And I connected with that line. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm, what's that word? Je suis très cassé. Look, I'm not traumatized, but like, it's a curse. It's a fucking curse having that vision. Like, why can't I just let things be? I mean, I do. I mean, it's not the why. I mean, because I can. You know, that's what, you know, drugs, alcohol, junk food, TV. You know, that's what that's for. But, I'm blaming God. There we go. All right. So, first quote that I feel the need to share is, again, this showed up on my Instagram from my homie Talam AC, and he says, Actually, he shared a quote from someone called Sean Stevenson. Maybe I should look him up who he is. You know, in case he's not a Klan member. But doesn't matter. But the quote goes, never believe a prediction that does not empower you. Powerful. That does not empower you. And I say the way I look at it, I connected to this one because it was, I'm thinking about the first time I started to understand the concept of faith. And I don't mean like faith in a higher power, not necessarily faith like the way Christian, I don't mean faith religiously. I mean faith like believing in the impossible, believing in shit that statistically won't work out. Like sometimes you're just better off believing that things are going to be all right in the end. And actually it does. I found myself having to re-embrace that way of thinking. But that's what the first thing that came to mind from that quote. The second quote, and what is this? Oh, yeah, I find this one powerful. It's one of those quotes that I've been thinking it, just never had the words to articulate it. That goes, dating someone who can stay kind even during fights is extremely important. And I know the title of the author's name is Fistism? What? I'm not sure how to read that. Fistism. God damn, it's long English. Anyway, yeah. This is an Instagram account that I follow called The Good Quote, and there's a long explanation. Okay, for me, what this means to me is I remember telling myself how I wanted to write on a dating profile, but I knew it wouldn't make sense. But in this context, it does. But I wanted to say that I would like to date someone who, if God forbid we get a divorce, she won't clean me out. And I don't mean like if I fuck up. It's not that if I fuck up, but it's more like it was my way of saying that, like if I fuck up, I deserve vengeance or whatever outcome. But if it's clear that we just didn't work out, date someone that, even when they hate you, they still have some kind of grace, because I would return that favor. Not say grace, but, you know, it just like, keep it civil. Keep it, you know what? I was trying to put that in words, and I knew it didn't make sense. It's like, oh, you're looking for a pushover? No, I mean, like this quote says, dating someone who can still stay kind, even during fights, is extremely important. Well, at least for me, it's beautiful. It's a rare quality. It's a rare quality because I think about how I can be a vengeful person, well, at least in my thoughts, at least like in an unhealthy way. But, Anyways, that concludes, today's, the intro. Let's just jump to news and random thoughts. Now, before I do that, I'm going to turn off the lights in this room. Oh, I just realized that I didn't complain about what I usually complain about. The board, this seat that I'm sitting on, and this room that I'm recording in. I don't know what it is, but there's something in this mother effing room that causes my nose to get stuffy, and I keep meaning to get that inspected, but that's not the point. One day, I promise you, I vow on the seven kingdoms, on the old and the new gods, that you'll stop hearing me complaining about these three items, because I will have done something about it. It's just not going to be today. It's just not going to be today. That's how I roll. But I swear, man, I'm the kind of guy that I'll complain about something, but at a certain point, I'll get to it. Shout out to you people who can, you know, who don't complain, who like act now, like who address this. And especially if you're listening to this going, what the fuck? It's nothing hard. Just do it. What the? Write it down. Make yourself a, I don't know how you people do it. Still procrastinate. I don't know how you non-procrastinators pull it off, but, you know, good for you, man. Seriously, good for you. High five. All right, so let's jump to news and random thoughts. So here we go. All right, now, before I continue, I'm laughing at this next rundown sheet. what did I write down as, I put this in there. Oh, man, hold on a second. I forgot to, I'm making a quick correction to, because I'm a professional, make a correction to my rundown sheet. This is what happened is I was preparing my rundown sheet, and I I prepared my rundown sheet, and part of preparing my rundown sheet is writing a title and a link. And I wrote the title, and I hit copy on the URL and forgot to paste it. And I started the show, but here I go. Again, I don't know if I have ADD, but I have something, either I have it or something very similar to it. But, you know, shout out to you if you're sticking around, if you're patient enough to stick around for my shenanigans. But here we go. All right. Yes. So I was quoting a line by Tupac. It goes from his track, Lord Knows. It goes, I smoke a blunt to take the pain out. If I wasn't high, I'd probably try to blow my brains out. Lord knows. Now, the reason I'm thinking of this quote is not what you think. It's in response to, I don't know if you probably heard about, what's his name? Kevin Clark. Prenarial candidate Kevin Clark storms the stage at the Daily Bread event. Now, I remember watching this. I was debating on sharing this with y'all. You know what? Fuck it. It's gonna be two-phased. First, I'm gonna be a hypocrite and laugh, and then I'm gonna make you feel bad for laughing. All right. So here we go. Is this it? No, that's not the clip. Is this it? No. Okay. Here we go. All right. Damn. Who's that speaking? Kevin Clark, a candidate for mayor, unexpectedly crashes the stage at a Toronto mayoral debate, and this is me having CanCon material on my podcast too at the same time. All right, you're welcome. Not the NRC. The fuck is that department that makes sure that there's like CanCon on the airways? I want to see CFRA. The related industry can. God, what doesn't matter. Here we go.
Thank you. Excuse me.
Now you will
sir?
Not fix an election if don't put your hands on me. That is assault. You will not threaten to shoot. And watch this. Look at this. Get your hands off.
Why is he so close?
Watch this. If
there's a part where he looks like a relative, man. Seriously, man. And the two black guys who are pulling him off are reading my thoughts. I think they read the thoughts of every black person on earth, and they're like, yo, get this nigga off stage. Here we go.
Okay.
And then poor sister's trying to bring order to the mayoral debate in front of all these white folks. Oh, and then he breaks the stage. All right, you know what? Okay. It just hit me that you can't see what the fuck I'm looking at. You know, I'm thinking I'm making a version of Shut Up Podcast of a YouTube version of Shut Up Podcast where you hear my voice and you hear the, you know, and then I'll share the videos on there so you can see it. Because, yeah, it is kind of ridiculous. You have no idea what the fuck I'm looking at. Part of my assumption is that this clip has gone viral and you've seen it before. And ideally, you're an American going, oh, let me find out about Canadian politics. And you turn to this podcast to get the insight, to get the lowdown of what's going on. All right? So what happened is this brother was trying to argue for reparation. I just realized that I can tell you whatever the fuck I want. Because, you know, if you're American, because y'all believe anything, whatever the fuck we tell you. Seriously, get back. Let's get back serious. Okay. Apparently, there's an election going on in Toronto. Why do I not know about this? Because I live in Ottawa, and I'm part of the Canadians who couldn't give a fuck about Toronto. Well, you know, who secretly has a hatred for Toronto. That's what it is. Part of being Canadian and not living in Toronto is not liking Toronto. It just what it is. It just is what it is. And if you're Toronto and your feelings hurt by that, well, fuck you too. I mean, deal with it, all right? You got, like, you got the CN Tower. You got all that nice shit. And it just is what it is, all right? Fuck, I live in Ottawa. It's a boring town. I make peace with it. No one likes Ottawa. But we collectively, as Canadians, do not like. You know what it is? Because I'm also from the French part of Canada. But that's a longer story. All right. Where I'm going with this. Yeah. Mayoral debate. There's an election going on in Toronto. And there's a mayoral debate. And the homie that just stormed the stage, he was one of the candidates. So I guess he didn't make the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I guess he didn't make the top 5 list. And homie barged in. I don't know. Like, I was looking around. Like, I found out that his name was Kevin Clark. You know, that story is so fucked up that this is the first time I, I'm crediting the Toronto Sun. I make reference. You'll see a link to the Toronto Sun. This is the first time that I link to that fucking trash of a media outlet. That's how fucked up the story is. But where was I going with all this shit? Yeah, I was trying to fit it in about how. Oh, right. What the fuck does that have to do with blowing your brains out? Because, because I was telling myself. When I watched this, I said, you know what? If I was in podcasting, I'd probably be that crazy guy going, rushing the stage, going, I will be heard, motherfuckers. I know what it's like. I guess that's what I'm saying. I know what it's like to want to be heard. So I'm saying, like, if I wasn't, so Tupac goes, if I wasn't high, I'd probably try to blow my brains out. So this is me saying, you know, if I wasn't podcasting, I'd probably be interrupting your show, your event, like Kanye West. And speaking about whatever the fuck I speak about on my podcast, sharing quotes and shit, talking about my feelings and shit, and my last therapy session. Anyways, yeah. Okay, now here's the sad part. I Googled the homie, the Kevin Clark, and damn. Okay, I realize I'm seeing M. Holy shit. Okay, what you just heard in the background was the white man tapping through my conversation using Google. Holy shit. Yo, there's times where Google is so useless. Whatever, right? Sorry, now I'm trying to figure out why I got a notification. Okay. Yeah, Kevin Clark. Okay, so I because we live in the information age, most people just look at it as crazy guy, crazy black guy interrupts the mayoral debate. And I want to know why the fuck would he debate it? Because, you know, I figured that a black guy interrupting, doing some shit, it must be serious. A la Kanye West. It must be some real shit. And I looked him up and found his Chaos of Tamara. Okay, no one explains why he did it. Apparently, the Toronto Sun tried to interview him. Maybe they couldn't stop laughing. I don't know. Okay, one, I heard this is not the first time that he's done this. I heard that, you know, he's Canadian former educator. Okay, now, here's the sad part. In a past episode, I'm realizing that I'm being a fucking hypocrite in the sense that, well, then again, maybe I'm just trying to make light out of life. But what you're looking at is a man at his lowest. I mean, not low, in the sense that, for him to have that kind of outbreak, something's going wrong. So I read the description. Yeah, born March 21st, 1964. He's a Canadian former educator. He used to be a teacher, all right? Activist and personal candidate who is a founder of former leader of the People's Political Party. He is considered one of the most recognizable, homeless persons in the city of Toronto campaigning on the people's rights. I'm just saying, look, times are hard and people are look, I guess what I'm getting at is the story of Jordan Neely. Oh man, don't tell me I'm mispronouncing his name. Jordan Neely. Jordan Neely is still stuck in my mind. It's still in my mind and it's Look, whatever Jordan Neely is, whatever he's scared, whatever he is, he didn't deserve to die the way he died. That's the bottom line. So there's a lot of, fuck. Actually, I tell you what, there's another story I'm going to get to, and it's just probably why I went from laughing at the story to then being like, oh, man, fuck. This world is cruel. We live in a cruel world, and we get by laughing at the people who can't hang on. That's this is me. This is what I mean by life just got me. It depressed the fuck out of me because I just realized shit like that. It's the cruelty of this world. Like, part of surviving in this world, I feel like we have to be cruel. Or maybe we don't, but anyways, this is me coping with life. Laughing and crying at the same time. All right, so next item on the rundown sheet. What did I put down? Okay, because it goes on second page. Okay, so this is the item I was in the middle of correcting. So I titled it COVID is Over. And what happened is that I was listening to an episode of Today Explained on Vox, the podcast. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I binged a lot of podcasts. Sometimes I wonder if I should have listed out and... Okay, off topic. Right. And I listened to an episode about how COVID is over. And...
Today is the day.
Whoops, sorry.
Today is the day.
I'm sorry. I just probably burst your ear. I didn't think this went through, but... long story short, in the United States, because I'm not sure how we're handling it in Canada, but I'm assuming it's very similar. But in the United States, well, I guess the WHO organization declared, let me make sure, let me get the story right. WHO, and then COVID, if they, coronavirus disease, have they said, WHO declares COVID no longer a global health? Okay.
It's therefore with great hope that I declare COVID-19 over as a global health emergency.
Oh, okay.
However, that does not mean COVID-19 is over as a global health threat. Last week, COVID-19 claimed life every 3 minutes.
Damn.
And that's just the deaths we know about. As we speak, thousands of people around the world are fighting for their lives in intensive care units. And millions more continue to live with the debilitating effects of post-COVID-19 condition. This virus is here to stay. It's still killing. And it's still changing. The risk remains of new variants emerging that cause new surges in cases and deaths.
Here we go. Pause. Okay, I'm looking for when this thing was shared. Okay, ABC News. Oh, 12 days ago. All right. Okay. Okay, so in Today Explained, they pretty much go over it. And I'm not going to summarize the whole podcast, but this is just my quick. I'm in the barbershop explaining what I heard. And okay. So from what I understand, in the United States, the position they've taken is pretty much, the government pretty much has said, look, you're on your own. COVID is like poverty right now. If you get COVID, government is pretty much saying you're on your motherfucking own. Thoughts and prayers. Good luck, homie. Good luck. Pray to your God. Pray to your Jesus. Pray to Allah. Pray to the prophet. Whoever the fuck will listen. Yahweh. Whatever the fuck. Rub some crystal together. But you're on your own. Government ain't doing shit about it. Okay, two reasons I bring this up is what I like about from... Two reasons I bring it up after is because what I like about the Today's explanation or the breakdown is one, yeah, government is just pretty much saying you're on your own. And I'm kind of angry at the people who, like, they're just not going to put in any money into this. Like, you know, you show up to the hospital and good luck. I guess I was thinking about how I was disappointed or I was angered at the people who didn't realize that the government didn't have to give a fuck about COVID. Actually, they did because they didn't want that headline that says hospitals are overwhelmed or white people are being admitted into hospital to be treated for COVID. Black people are being left outside. Black and white, you know, indigenous are being some. Basically, one, They didn't want that headline. Two, and what people fail to fucking understand is government caring about their citizen is like a slave owner caring about his enslaved. I mean, we need the fucking workforce. We can't have them dropping like flies on us. So yeah, patch them up, give them a vaccine, and make sure they're good to work again. All right, okay. So we need to get them to work from home to spread to reduce the spread of the disease. Sure, we'll do that. Right? It's not that it amazes me that people didn't get that, but I am frustrated at these anti-maskers, these COVID deniers, and these fucking ridiculous bullshit ignorant ass theories they kept coming up to why COVID is bullshit. It's just a way to control us and shit like that. It's like, well, it's like, asshole, I've been listening to government conspiracy. I've been on that government conspiracy. I'm just saying, I'm not above government believing in government conspiracies. I still remember the Tuskegee experiment. But create some conspiracy based on fucking reality. You know what I mean? On some consistent shit. That's number one. Number two, and this is a slight twist to, hold on a second. Whew. I'm getting warmer preaching with you, to y'all. Preaching to y'all. Anyway, yeah. Number two. Right. On the podcast, on that episode of Today Explained, they went over what we did well and what we sucked at. Right? And now, I think they were focused on the States, but I'm going to assume Canada was very similar. It's, or I'm working on the assumption it's very similar, is that the one thing we did well, I know it for Canada, is creating, testing, and deploying the vaccine for the virus. Like, that's probably like a historical, that's some historical shit on how they managed to say, oh, wow. Okay, this virus is fucked up. We need to develop a virus really quick. We need to make that shit a virus. Yeah, virus, did I say virus? I mean vaccine really quick. We need to get off our ass, consolidate, throw some money at the problem, right? So that's apparently, well, I know Canada did way better than the United States, I think. I don't know. You know what? Facts. Fuck facts. Shut up, podcast. We don't the white man wants me to look at facts. We don't deal in facts. I'm kidding. But in the general idea in the United States, and apparently Trump gets credit for that shit. Ain't that a motherfucking bitch? Yeah. Developing, testing, and deploying the virus, that's the one thing we did well. Now, the part that surprises me is, well, not surprises me, is how I thought communicating the vaccine or the steps, that's where the failure was. No, apparently, because I'm thinking about all these anti-vaxxers, like all the pushback we saw against the virus, like that pissed me off. And I was trying to make sense out of it, right? And on the podcast, they used the word, did I write it that? Social engineering. As in, there was a math formula that pretty much, okay, all those assholes, relatives, friends, whatever the fuck, all those people you saw online in your circle speaking against the vaccine, against wearing masks, talking about government conspiracy, calling you a sheep for wearing a mask, all those people were part of a mathematical formula, meaning it was predicted. Meaning, if you look at every past experience, every past epidemic, was it an epidemic? Did we call it an epidemic? Wait, what's the other one? Let me look at, what's worse than an epidemic? Yeah, epidemic, right? Is that what they called COVID? Epidemic. Yeah, this podcast would probably be more successful if I wasn't so doubtful. Okay, an epidemic is a rapid spread of disease at a large number. Pandemic, that's what I was looking for. Pandemic, yes, okay, right. If you look at every past pandemics, There's always been a group who's been like, okay, the way it's handled, there's always been a group saying, yeah, bullshit. There's always been that. That's not, I was convinced that my generation, these, like what happened on in Ottawa, like the convoy. I thought that was new, right? But apparently, nah, that shit was predicted. Any expert could have told you, yeah, we're going to have some problems. We're going to have people complaining about the way we came out with the vaccine. We're going to have people going to doubt that COVID's real. Yes, it's all those people were predictable, right? And the part that we didn't do well, I say as a society, is see them coming. So the problem, so I was, I guess in my mind, I was like, okay, I'm not changing the fact that there's a lot of friends, there's a lot of people I've known. Okay. There's a reason why I've changed the definition of friend. Because I was so disgusted, so pissed off at people who were like on my social media calling me a sheep for following what the doctor, the government was telling me what to do, right? I've never been one to trust the government, but in this particular case, I'm like, yeah, they want us to be alive. They want us to, like, for me, it was amazing to see being told to work from home now, stay off the streets. All that shit was just amazing. Like, I remember just taking all that shit seriously. I was in that category of people. And I hated the opposers because I was like, yeah, you guys are assholes. I just saw it as people being selfish. Like, I actually have a relative who caught the virus, and he was a COVID denier. And this guy catches the virus and gives it to his grandparents. I mean, to his parents. They die from it. But I'm not. The thing is, when that happened, I wasn't mad at the person. I was mad at the situation. Like, I wasn't like, see, told you so. Okay, whatever. No, it wasn't like that. You're just upset. It's kind of, you're upset like a relative being addicted to some kind of drug or whatever, like fentanyl, crack, whatever, right? You're mad that I'm part of that demographic. You're mad that it's happening to you. Like, I was going to say, you don't take it personal. You just look, out of everything I was feeling towards that relative, the one thing I wasn't feeling was, I told you so, though. There was nothing like that. You're just upset that, ah, shit, I've been shot. I got it, you know. Yeah, so all this to say that on the list of things we didn't do well, being prepared for the blowback made the list. I don't know if you blame the government. I don't know. I guess on my end, when I make it personal, because I remember how I would allow these people to drive me, to actually take me, to take them seriously. Like, I remember arguing with them, thinking like I would reach through those earlier moments of, I might be able to reach for them. And just, I should have just accepted that. Nah, you're just part of, like, you're part of the adversity. You're part of, it's human nature. Yes. I don't deny, I was sympathetic to people who were vaccine hesitant, because I was in that same boat earlier on. I was sympathetic to those people. Who I wasn't sympathetic to were the aggressive type, like insulting me because I'm like I kind of wish they were just like, hey, you do you. I was angry at them that they couldn't adopt a you do you approach. I guess I don't have any regrets. I'm just saying I am what's the word I'm looking for? I should have seen it coming. I should have known that. There's one thing they said about how, like, we should have known, like, the waving your finger at those people wouldn't work. I know better. I've known better that none of that shaming people, insulting, and all that thing. I'm not saying, look, again, no regrets. Fuck them. We know, like, those are people I just found that they were cruel. They were just saying a lot of ignorant. Like, I can't, You know, there's a lot of people. A lot of this shit made me think that, yeah, I remember, like, I was going around saying I hate white people, but the reality, like, when I was going through that, before I started this podcast, I was going through this, like, depression, and I found myself saying I hate people. I used to say, you know, I hate white people a lot, because it was shortly around George Floyd, the death of George Floyd. Oh, which his death anniversary is coming up soon. Yeah, it was shortly after his, yeah, I remember finding myself saying, I hate white people. But the truth is, I was really saying, I hate people. I wanted to see the world burn. You can pretty much, anyone who tells you they hate a demographic, assume they hate everyone. They're just, where I was going with this is, in my hatred for people was also the COVID deniers. Like the folks who couldn't get themselves to realize that, hey, what the government is doing in terms of giving a fuck about figuring out a solution is rare. It's a once in a lifetime situation. It was just, anyway, I guess I'm just trying to say that the fact that I could have wrote a mathematical formula. I could have came up with a formula. If I had a mathematical formula that would have just said X equal the number of assholes who will be against, who will not cooperate with vaccine mandates, who will call you an asshole, call you a sheep, who will join the convoy, who will no longer be in your life. Like, all these people, I would say it was written, they were all part of a math formula. And look, next pandemic, expect the same shit to happen again. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. There we go. Lesson learned. Expect them to come. All right. Next, what time is it? Okay, we're next on the Rundime Sheet. I feel like a teacher going through material. Oh, my God. Okay, let's go. All right. Okay, I'm going to go quick on this one, right? And so I read a headline about how Trump is, Trump and Melania aren't doing too well in their marriage. I mean, I saw it coming, but it's official now. And, that's not the point. That's not where I'm going with this. I'm going to read a quote about Trump. Okay, look, bottom line, Trump is a piece of shit. And I'll leave a link to the many ways Trump has proven, confirms that he's just a piece of shit. And it's just a quote that I was going to read about from Trump and how he was. And he talks about how he used to own, the Miss Universe pageant. And the quote goes, I'll tell you the funniest thing. This is Trump talking. He goes, I'll go backstage before... I'll go backstage before a Miss Teen. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. This was Teen USA. Wow. Okay. Before a Miss Teen USA show, and everyone's getting dressed and ready and everything, and no men are anywhere. And I'm allowed to go in because I'm the owner of the pageant, and therefore I'm inspecting it. Look, I won't lie, man. Younger version, teenage version of me would have been like, wow, I wish I was Trump. But what I'm saying now is, yeah, that's some disgusting shit. I mean, he's beyond being a pervert. Like, this is Mr. Yeah, grab him by the pussy. He was like, I think he truly believes that, yo, power is meant to be abused, especially on women. Hot women. But okay, that's not the point. This is not where I'm going with this, right? What I was trying to say is, I'm used to seeing on my timeline posts about how Trump ain't shit, Trump is racist, is all that kind of, like, you know, is like, oh, Trump is dumb and all that shit. But what bothers me is I kind of wish white people could, like, check themselves. Take the time to be like, to reflect on, okay, Trump is all these bad things. How come he's made it this far? And I'm keep pointing my finger at white supremacy. He took advantage of that shit. Like, Lyndon Johnson quote? Oh, man, I can't type for shit. Lyndon Johnson quote. And it goes, of course, it's not going to be the first one. He goes, okay, I got a long list. Search for the word white. Okay, he goes, if you can convince the lowest white man he's better than the best colored man, he won't notice you're picking his pocket. Hell, give him somebody to look down on, and he'll empty his pockets for you. That's Trump. But the thing is, a lot of white people are like, don't realize that Trump is a mathematical force. Basically, there's been Trumps before who have taken advantage of ignorant ass white people who just needed to believe that they were better than people who didn't have the same skin as them. And Trump, there will always be a Trump. That's what I'm trying to get at. And I kind of wish white people would wake up from this shit. That's all I'm trying to say. Like, I'm tired of hearing about how Trump is stupid. How about you reflecting on how the fuck he made it this far? Because one thing's for sure, I want to remind everyone that black people did not vote for Trump. I still remember that fucking election. I still remember being surrounded by white people who were like, oh man, you need to get over this racism shit. I mean, Trump is not that. I mean, he's racist, but not that racist. Like, like they thought we didn't like Trump because he was being racist. Nah, I mean, yeah, because he was being racist, but also, okay, really what I'm trying to get at is I have a dream that one day white people will realize that, oh shit, this racism shit is a problem, could be a problem for us as well. It's kind of like, I'm thinking of that scene in The Matrix where season three, where that's what racism is. Racism is like that bad code that's going to fuck it up for everyone. I'm sorry. It's like Agent Smith, how he replicated himself and pretty much was getting ready to destroy the whole. My point is, dear white people, after these racists are done with us, they'll be coming for you. Oh, I'm not white. Yeah, but, you know, are you a real Canadian? Are you pure blood Canadian? Do you speak French? Because you French people, they don't like you too. You know, anyway, whatever. I have a dream that one day racism won't be that problem that only affects black people. That's what I'm trying to get at. All right, okay. Damn, that was longer than I wanted to. Okay, now this is heartbreaking, and it relates to the Peter Clark quote. I'm just going to play it. And food for thought. And here it goes. This is a homeless person. Here, the caption goes, young homeless man shares the struggles after aging out of foster care. Here we go.
Now, how did you end up homeless?
I was aged out of foster care. You just age out. You turn 18, you know, the world just says, okay, you're an adult now, go fend for yourself.
Oh my gosh, and that was your first time homeless?
That's why I've been homeless ever since. No one ever taught me how to write a check. I don't know. First thing about expenses, renting an apartment.
Because there's no life skills taught in foster care?
I couldn't tell time until I was 17.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I had a watch, but it was just for show.
So what was the foster care situations like?
I mean, I was in four placements. I was in one in Montana. I was in one in Montego Bay, Jamaica. And I was in Manville, Texas. And another one in Vista, San Diego. And the Vista San Diego one was the only one that was in any way beneficial. The other ones were more or less kid prisons.
Kid prisons, oh my god.
For less of a better term, because low 14s, I mean, Montana, obviously out of country placements, they're somehow related, the two placements. They're without child laws. I mean, you are literally the property of your parents, and they could choose whatever to do. You're just property. You're not even a human.
So when you aged out at 18, your 18th birthday, you just get kicked out on the streets?
I was told to pack up my stuff and go.
Quite literally. On your 18th birthday?
On 18th birthday.
That's horrible, man.
So state didn't pay for me to be there anymore.
So out you go.
Yep.
So then what? Then how do you survive?
Went to a gas station. I met a bum. He taught me how to panhandle. I literally walked down the street until I found
some. On your birthday?
Yep.
Shit. This also reminds me of why I enjoyed The Wire, because of some insightful shit like that about this world. Look, man, there's so many. Is that the expression? A lot to unpack here, but there's so many thoughts from this. But the one dominating thought is, my parents don't realize this, but as disappointed they might be about their kids. I don't say that in a bad way, like, you know, they, you know, should have been a doctor and all that shit. Okay. As disappointed that they might be about their kids, but they don't realize as parents, they did the good job at the very least. And we take this shit for granted that I have it way better than this guy. I mean, I felt bad for homeboy. This is not me saying, oh, we're better than him. But I'm just trying to say, like, how worse things could have. Look, this guy, I guess he was foster care. He's got no parents, no one to look after him. And the government pretty much, you know what it is? This dude, this brother was going through life. And the only thing, okay, people call it the grace of God, but it's like luck. Yeah, pretty much luck. And this is where, this is where the whole being sensitive to other people's pain. Some human beings, a few human, as he crossed through the world, there were people he managed to cross by. They were, who knows, maybe a minimum, whatever, who just gave a fuck. He said foster care, and he said he met another, he used the word bum, another panhandler to show him the way. Like, someone had to give a fuck and say, hey, here's how, you know, I'm sure he's been ripped off. I'm sure he's got, like, a lot of horror story. But the fact that he's got a shirt, he's breathing, he's in front of a camera, able to share his story, tells you that he managed to cross a few people who gave a fuck. You know what I mean? Like, in my mind, I thought this world was so cruel that someone like him wouldn't make it. But he made it long enough to be able to get in front of a camera, have it recorded, uploaded on the internet, and for me to discover it. Okay, this is content found on TikTok. And powerful, man. Powerful. Let me see what the top comment says. This is so sad. I also was raised in a foster care and aged out the system. It was only dumb luck that it didn't end up in the same exact situation. I'm just saying, you understand why some people snap, lose it, end up in jail. Just like, I don't know. Here's hoping for a better generation. All right, okay. Next item. Okay, the reason I'm sharing this next clip is the word, okay, it goes, example of civil discourse. Okay, I really misspelled that. Discoursed? How do you spell discourse? Discoursed. Okay, example of civil discourse went outrage. And basically, these are parents reacting to a vote not going their way. And look, I think I'll elaborate in final thoughts about how I've been going through some rage issues, and I've been asking the question: how do mature people settle beef? And I don't mean settle like, you know, you. If you were a different person, the person you got beef with, it'd be their lives or your life kind of situation. How do you not riot when you don't have the words to articulate your rage? And what I'm saying is, I was asking those questions, and on my timeline, this is actually a Reddit post, and I'm seeing these adults express their disappointment towards, here, I'll read the line. It goes, a group of parents in Tennessee are outraged that the local school board caved to a conservative group and cancel a librarian's Mother's Day lesson inclusive to kids without moms. Look, these folks are in the right. I'm angry just reading the caption. I'm like, y'all, burn shit down mindset. Look, I want to be clear. If you don't know me, you know that it's just my vocabulary. It's not my actions. Okay, but anyway. But I'm just amazed at hearing these parents, these folks, these adults articulate their rage. And the thing is, in my mind, they're justified to go all out. Like, how the fuck are you not cursing? But anyways, but it's just, I was just impressed that I'm sharing it with you. Yeah, I'm playing on this podcast because y'all need to hear, because I think you'll be just as impressed as I am. Again, justified outrage. I mean, burn shit down. That's what I'm trying to say. But instead, here's these adults using their words to express their outrage. Here we go.
The books that were to be shared have been accessible at Alpine Crest Elementary for nearly a decade and are logged and online. These books are well known for tackling blended families, adopted families, foster families, or any family that doesn't fit perfectly into a box. All students, families, and educators deserve to be respected and feel valued.
Mm-hmm. I'm extremely disappointed in the way an inclusive Mother's Day lesson was canceled and my kid's librarian has been vilified. I knew there would be pushback from a few loud bullies, but I'm enraged that the administration sided with them. A majority of families have been denied an important lesson in our increasingly diversified world, and a platform was given to a group of fear-mongering extremists. This group claimed that a story about a bear is pushing trans ideology, and a story about a girl feeling left out during Mother's Day is pushing a homosexual agenda. They say this is sexualization of children when they're the only ones that brought sex into it. The only agenda I'm seeing play out is that of Moms for Liberty, a well-funded and connected political group that preys on vulnerable people with manufactured outrage in the guise of protecting children. I'm here right now to protect my children from them. I'd have to strongly disagree that this group cares about the safety of all kids. The motivation behind the cancellation of a compassionate literacy lesson sends a message to minorities and LGBTQ families that their existence is unacceptable. By shielding your kids from love that looks different than yours, you're turning them into bullies and crippling them from living successfully in a diverse world.
I've never seen them there shoveling mulch, putting up swing sets, painting door frames. We're here in the trenches. We're here with these children. This is 2023. Uh-huh. I'm a Christian man married to a woman, but I think everyone should be represented fairly. If you want to keep your kids in a closet and just shelter them from everything, homeschool them. Send them to Christian school. Right, this is a public schools for everyone. Everyone. I've dealt with that woman. She loves these kids.
Instead of backing Mrs. Mickey up, you let the bullies win. What? When you let the bullies win, they're going to keep bullying. Uh-huh. I understand that these adult bullies have intimidated and incited an ungodly amount of hate in our community, but you, HCS leadership and admin, must show them that you have a zero tolerance policy for bullying. When you have a board policy that states you expect all students to treat each other with civility and respect, and then you let grown adults bully one of your educators, and you let them interrupt the education of our students, you're teaching the community that you don't actually mean what you say.
Oh my God, it's beautiful, man. Well said. Well put. I just googled Moms for Liberty and a bunch of smiling. Of course they had to find a black girl in there. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's bullshit. Look, the thing that gets me is what the last person said is they allow bullies to bully them. Cause these Moms for Liberty, okay, I don't know the full case. I'll be careful, but I know there's a lot in the States of, there's a lot going on. Actually, we have this in Canada too, but people showing up to protest, drag. The new flavor of the month is attacking members of the LGBTQ community. I mean, black people and Muslim, brown people, we're still on the list. Indians too, you know, South Asian folks, you know, don't forget. Remember when you first came in the country and white folks were fucking with you too, or people were fucking with you too. But now, yes, the new flavor of the month is members of the LGBTQ community, and people are acting like, oh shit, it's the end of the world. Fuck, men want to wear dresses. What the fuck? Guys want to fuck guys. What the fuck? And I'm still single. I'm kidding. Yeah. but what I'm getting at is they allowed the bullies to take over, and it's like I'm angry. I'm really angry, but I'm thinking about this is how I'm still grateful for the people who can be angry and still be productive. I'm not one of them. That's why I'm over here on a podcast talking shit. I'm just grateful for these people. For they're gonna win in the end. They're going to win, and they know that. They're keeping the faith. They've expressed their outrage, and then it's like, okay, time to get information. All right, last item is, what time is it? Oh, my God, okay. Last item, Mike Tyson or origin stories, and then, you know what? Yeah, fuck it. I'm just going to play it because I want to get to final thoughts and get the fuck out of here. Did I mention I was hungry and I'm trying not to eat out, but I'm getting weaker and weaker, like after, whatever. Okay, so here we go. the Mike Tyson origin story, and this was in the unexpected section subreddit of Reddit. Here we go. Mike Tyson's origin. This is Mike Tyson speaking. Here we go.
I was just a chubby fat kid that was got disrespected. I had pigeons. I was raising pigeons. One day, these bullies came to take my pigeons. I said, please, I have my bird back. And this one guy said, no, you fat bitch. And he popped the neck off, hit me with the head, poured the blood on me, hit me with the bird. And someone said, fight him back. So I beat the shit out of him. And when I hit the guy and I dropped him, I started skipping. Everybody started clapping. And I got addicted to fighting. Anyway, I started clapping. I got addicted to fighting. I fought every day, fighting, biting ears, and fighting in legs. On that was. I loved it. It got me high. It got my. I was. It got me erected. My dick got hard. Violence got my dick hard. Yeah.
But you got off on it.
I didn't get off. I didn't come, but it got my dick hard.
I'm laughing and I'm not laughing. I'm laughing because I'm thinking about how people are going to think I'm crazy. But for me, fighting is, I guess, fighting. Because I'm thinking of all my friends who are fighters and who fight. And they tell you that you just get used to it. You know, getting punched in the face is just, it's part of the deal. You win fight, you lose some and whatever, right? Fighting to me is like what some folks might think comedy is. Or me doing this podcast. It's like a lot of, some of you people look at it as, oh, I can never do some shit like that. It's you get over it, I guess, whatever. I guess I'm saying is, why not? I wish I was the fighting type like Mike Tyson, but I don't like getting punched. I don't know, whatever, right? And having that kind of control, I could see me being the guy, having that discipline to be like Mike Tyson, but I'm getting off topic. The man just said he got his dick hard. And that's what triggered me to. Look, I don't know if whether his dick got hard or this is his way of saying I finally figured out what I was meant to do. But his dick got hard. Here you go, right? Cheers to all of you figuring out what you were meant to do on this life, in this life. All right. Okay. All right. So this concludes news and final thought. Hey, you know what? A few rules and random thoughts, and just hit me. Do I have? Did I play any news on this? Yes, news. COVID is over. The homie crashing the, what's his name, Peter Clark. Yeah, okay, all right. And I have some random thoughts. The random thoughts were all over the place. But okay, all right, so here you go. Final thought. Final thought is going to get a little deep here. And I'm hoping I pull this one off. But bear with me as I start the, break the segment, end the segment off with this. All right, okay, final thought. All right, okay. What's up with today's title? Okay, Streets is Watching. Now, before I start and explain this, I mentioned on a previous podcast, not that you care, but whatever, on a previous podcast how I love that moment after I publish an episode and the next episode is one blank page. All I know is the title is going to be a digit, like the first three digits of the title is going to be one increment from the last one. That's all I know. So that's a blank page. And usually it's for my midweek episode, like today, the ones I record on Wednesdays, sometimes it's likely inspired after a therapy session, because my therapy session at the beginning of the week. And great, I just told the world where I'm at. Okay, and the ones I record on Sundays is usually inspired by. Oh, midweek episode is usually inspired by my mood. It might be on. Okay, let me just get to the point. Monday morning, scrolling through Twitter, and I see a picture of my man. Okay, I see my man. We're more associate. Okay, I can't take, you know, he's associate. ABBA from ABBA and Preach. They got content on the internet. They're very popular with my relatives. They put on comedy shows. ABBA and Preach, they put on comedy shows, right? But they also got a YouTube channel. a successful YouTube channel, and I see a picture of ABBA. Okay, it's a common picture of from Django Unchained, where Steven, Samuel L. Jackson's character, is hugging Leonardo DiCaprio's character. You know what I'm talking about. Basically, it's the slave his slave masters during a tragedy, because the slave master, whatever, is dying, right? And superimposed on those pictures, on that picture is ABBA and this white dude named Destiny. Now, this shit blew my motherfucking mind seeing that picture, right? And the person posting this picture is another content creator. Well, okay, this content creator I admire. His name is FD Signifier. I've been calling FD. No one, I couldn't find him on Google. Okay, I kept calling him FD Designer. No, it's FD Signifier. Very articulate brother. Look, I have a thing for articulate brothers, articulate black folks, right? Just because they make me think about how when I was in school and I was in language class, whether it was French or English, and I would say stupid shit like, man, I don't need this shit. I'm good at math. Like, they make me admire their ability to express their point. With that said, so FD Designer, like if I was a teenager, I'd have FD Signifier, I'd have a poster of this man because I'm familiar with his work. So all this to say, scrolling for TikTok, mine explodes. I wish I could explode. It probably exploded like the first time Tupac and Biggie got into a beef. ABBA, not Preach, is on this picture. ABBA, Destiny. I don't know Destiny. I just heard about him. I see one of his clip. I like it, but I'm going to say, I don't know. I admire the clip, but there was something that said, hold off before you praise this white boy. Okay, hold on. Let me just get to the point. Okay, so picture again. ABBA, Destiny. And implying that ABBA is a coon. And this image is pretty much a coon, and FD Designer is a slave owner. And the dude posted making that statement as FD Signifier. I woke up going, what the fuck is going on in today's world? And the caption goes, me, FD Signifier, saying me, Destiny is racist. I'm like, oh shit, that white boy is racist? And then ABBA, and then they show ABBA coming to his rescue. So I'm like, look, black folks, nothing good has ever come from defending a white person being called racist. The only exception, and it's never happened, but like, you know, if Jim Brown were to come back to this world and someone accused him of being racist, I'd be like, whoa, 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 the man died for her sins. You know what I mean? Anyways, okay, so I don't know the details. But now that I think about it, had I done my research, I would have made it part of News and Random Thoughts. But apparently, again, not clear on the details, but let me just speak about where shit gets personal and how this links to today's title. Thing about ABBA is, I am, like, he's part of the category of human beings who, I'm not a fan of his content, but I am a fan of his success because I know him. I've seen him locally, personally, you know, high-fived him. I've seen him at comedy shows. He's actually fucking hilarious, as a comedian. He's really great, talented, and all that shit, especially his homie, his sidekick, partner, Preach. Actually been on a Black History show with them, opened up for those two. And one of the greatest moments in my life. Anyways, yeah, but that's a longer story, right? So I'm saying this like as a comedian, hilarious. Internet YouTube content creator, man, those brothers have said some shit that I found questionable frequently, right? And for now, for him to be called racist, a coon, I'm like, yeah. First thought that kept ringing in my mind was, Jay-Z's track, Streets is watching, bro. It's like the streets been waiting for you to fuck up to make that mistake. So, again, not clear on the details, but the one thing that I do know how it got to this, the one thing that I do know is that Destiny did something that caused FD Signifier to call him racist. I'm not, like, fuck. I'm like, you know, more to come. I need to read up on this shit. And then I do remember there's a clip of him being, yeah, you know what? I do suck at storytelling, but I'm brace up. Bear with me, right? I do, apparently, FD Signifier said, hey, homie, I will debate you on your podcast, because that's what Destiny does in pure white people fashion. You know, he's willing to debate racism with you. I mean, you know, he's on black people's side, but, you know, he's, longer story about this whole debating shit. White people, white liberals love fucking the concept of debating. To them, they can, to them, debate is the pathway to fixing racism. Anyway, whatever, right? So, FD Signifier apparently said, yo, I will come on your podcast, debate you, if on the condition that you donate to my favorite charity. And I forget what the charity is, but it's, fuck, you gonna make me look it up? Okay, whatever, right? To donate to, and it's some wholesome shit. You know, but he said, but he dropped a digit like 25,000. Did he say 25 or 2,500? It was a lot of fucking money. It's a lot. It's the kind of money that I'm like, you people got that kind of money? It's an amount that made me say, what the fuck am I doing with my life? Holy shit, I suck at finance. But he said 25,000, and I'm not sure what went on, but apparently I'm not sure what all I know is it came down to, I know Destiny said, fuck that. I don't know him enough. Who's he calling racist? You know, another defensive white boy being, whatever. White people act like being called racist is the worst thing. I mean, I guess for a white person, it is the worst thing that could happen to them. But I think the worst thing, what's worse than being racist is actually being racist and not being aware that you're being racist. But that's another fucking story. So from what I understand, this shit result. I'm laughing because I tried to explain this story to my therapist, and I could have sworn she fell asleep on me. Anyway, so all I know is the whole shit ends with ABBA getting involved and then them donating to some police fucking association, something relating to police. Basically, the opposite. It's like they figured out who So FD Signifier was like, I want you to donate to the Autobots. And out of pure spite, ABBA comes back with, yeah, fuck it. Suck my dick, nigga. We donated to the Decepticon. That homie was a fucking mistake. Because I remember seeing that picture he posted about how he donated to them. I'm like, oh, wow, dude. Whatever point you're trying to make, whatever. I'm like, yeah, you fucked up from my perspective. Anyways. Then ABBA comes back and posts a picture about how, hey, it was just a prank. I didn't do that. I just wanted to trigger you niggers and some shit like that. But what I'm trying to say is, I'm going to acknowledge the fact that I'm not in ABBA's shoes. I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt that he's doing what he thinks is the right thing, whatever, right? But with that said, on my end, I'm like, fuck. Yeah, no, that's fucked up, man. It's like if this was a game of, back in the days when rappers used to battle each other, you know, and the way they would judge who would win is they would, you know, they would put the head on, if this was a battle between FD Signifier and ABBA, right now I'd be clapping for FD Signifier. I'm like, yes. Again, the other reason too is, I said I wrote this vindicated, is because ABBA has been saying some questionable shit, but not the kind of shit that I would confront him on it. I'm like, yeah, do you, homie. You know, you're on your path and I'm on one path. But now the fact that someone like FD Signifier is coming at him, calling him a coon, it makes it significant. It amplifies this shit. Let me make sure. Okay, I'm gonna stay on script. Again, said some shit in his podcast. Okay, so here's the part where I say that where I try to make sense of ABBA and him and the questionable shit that he said. I say questionable in the sense that I can't fuck with. I can't fuck with it, right? And I think, so this is me trying to make sense of ABBA's perspective in this, is I think ABBA is like part of, is like, there's a lot of Black Canadians, right? Who, like all of us, who we found, we kind of found our identity, or like our escape from Canadian racism was by adopting the identity of Black Americans. So in a way, when whether it's through rap, hip hop, or whatever, soul music, whatever, but our only, we didn't have parents to tell us how to be, whatever, but a significant number of us tagged on to Black American culture for our identity. It was like our escape. It was like our protection. It was like, this is why I start this podcast. This podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. It's my way of saying that, yo, this podcast is heavily, has been heavily influenced by Black American culture. That's my way of saying thank you. That's my way of saying my shout out to them. That's my of paying an homage to being my rescue and all that. This is me saying, hey, I'm acknowledging the fact that I've taken a lot from the red, black, and green. And it's also an homage to the X-Clan too, right? But then I also, you know, acknowledge that I'm saying, yes, I'm heavily influenced by Black American culture, but I was born in Canada, raised in Ottawa, and my parents are from Haiti. You know, like my bloodstream is Canadian and Haitian, right? Okay. I say this because there was a time where I used to look at the white kids who people would diss for, you know, they were called, I hate that word, but wiggers, who would, they would call, oh, you're trying to be black, whatever, right? And I found myself wondering, how different are we from them? Okay, the only reason we get a pass for doing what they do is because we're black. Like, we get, you know, we get to cop, we get to act like, we get to pretend like we're from Compton. Get away, like we're from Compton, New York, whatever the fuck, right? Fun fact, anyways. Where I'm going with this. So, yes. So a lot of us got our identity from Black American culture. And this is where ABBA comes in. ABBA is a demographic of Black Canadians who find themselves saying, hey, just because I'm black doesn't mean I have to have the same fucking opinion as the rest of you. For me, I won't lie. I was, you know, I joined the tribe and I'm like, whatever the fuck the tribe does, I'm doing it. But it took me a while. It took me a while before I realized that, oh shit, to make a distinction that, okay, I'm not Black American. I was born in Canada. You know, I'm going to send a quick shout out to my homegirl, Dubious. Dubious is someone who used to do the podcast with me. And she used to be big on reminding me that, hey, asshole, you're not a Black American. You're not from New York. You're not from any one of those, how many states are there? 50 states, whatever the fuck. You were born here. You're one of us. She was good on reminding me. Actually, I remember my dad trying to remind me, saying, you ain't one of them. What I'm trying to say is, it took me a while to realize that I was not Black American. What I was more of a very close ally to Black Americans. Like, I was to Black Americans what Black women are to Black men, or what Black men are to Black women, or what Canada is to America. Very close allies. But we are allies. Like, we, like I know there's Black people in Toronto who sing the Black anthem. Was it Black National Anthem? Who wave the red, black, and green. But they're Black Canadians. They're either Jamaican, Haitian, whatever the fuck, but they're not, you know, they wave the red, black, and green, but technically, let me put it this way. When those reparation checks start rolling in the States, we're not getting a cut. We're not, if we do, we're in the back of that fucking line. So, okay. ABBA represent a part of Black Canadians who tell themselves that, hey, I'm Black, but I think for myself. Fuck this. If shit doesn't make sense to me, then I'm going to adopt it. Now, the thing is, a lot of people who are quote-unquote accused of being coons, whatever, have that same mindset. It's like, just because I'm Black doesn't mean I have to think like the rest of you niggas. Here's the problem, and I don't have the talent to explain it like FD Singifier would, or actually, Abba's an articulate dude too. I'm gonna fucking try, right? And if I get criticized for it, then I may try to write it down and re-explain myself. But where was I making? All right, the mistake made is forgetting that it's not about being Black. It's stay in your fucking lane. It's like, just like white people, we're allies to them. Black Americans, like they there, a lot of them have been, a lot of like the Malcolm X book. A lot of their thinkers, we've adopted their thinking. Like a lot of their thinkers have said shit that applies to us, that we can relate to, that we can connect to. But in the end, we're allies. We don't get to decide shit like, let me back up. It's not that we don't get to decide. One, we're allies. That's one thing to remember. Two, yeah, sure, you can decide for yourself. But you got to forget that we're kind of like a fucking movement here. We're working together here. Like I'm grateful for my parents for raising me with this notion of community. Granted, their community was Christian and Black, but for me, it was more Black than Christian. So I have a sense, like, I grew up, my dad was raised me on the, you know, giving the bro nod, doing shit like that. Shit affects you, it affects us. My problems are your problem. Your problems are my problem. We work as a community. Seriously, that's like an unintended result. It's like the Black folks who tell themselves that just because I'm Black doesn't mean I have to think like you. It's like, yeah, I get it. Yeah, you can be a self-thinker. But you need to still remember that we're moving in fucking formation. The struggle is still not over. We got, no one's looking out for us. We got to look out for each other. I'm realizing that I'm preaching because I'm trying to explain a complicated idea. All this to say that, yeah, Brother Abba, sure, you can think for yourself, do whatever you want, but you got to accept the consequences that come with them. Like, fuck it. People want to call you a Tom. I mean, shoe fits, homie. That's what it is. I mean, you don't get to, basically, you don't get to play like white people and say, hey, say racist shit and then talk about how I wasn't trying to be racist. Fuck off. That's how it is. I'm thinking about this story that I was, because I'm thinking, I was trying to get back to the idea of this brotherhood, this sense of community that we have. I was thinking of the story of Frederick Douglass talked about, right? And this is the Be Black version of it. A historian could better explain it to it. But he was talking about how, was he making a speech? He was at some church. This is after he got his freedom and he moved to some, he got away to this plantation. I think he was in New York, right? And he's joined this new community in New York of Black folks. And he heard this story about how this one Black dude had beef with another Black dude. All right? I love this story. He had beef with another Black dude. I don't know what caused this beef, but it was enough for that one Black dude to be like, yo, I'm going to report him because he's an escaped slave. I'm going to go report him to his slave owner. I'm going to call his slave owner and say, and say, hey, this motherfucker is right here. I don't know how he was going to do it because I'm not sure how he could write. They didn't have telephones back then. But basically, he implied how he was going to have him removed by white folks. He was going to either send an anonymous tip, I don't know, send ravens. I don't know how they did it back then, but he was gonna notify his slave owner that, hey, that slave that escaped from your plantation, well, you can find him here. And apparently, pastor heard this shit and he said, you know, they like, oh, okay, all right, whatever, right? And then the next day, they surprised the homie and beat the shit out of him. Everyone, the whole community came together and says, yeah, there are rules to this shit. And one of them is that it was the equivalent of snitching to the cops. Okay, I won't compare it to snitching to the cops. But it's shit you just don't do. And I guess what I'm trying to get at is if Abba's being called a coon, it's because he's crossed one of those lines. Fucking sending the picture of how you donated to some cop association. You know what? Let me look this up. What time is it? Oh, shit. I'm going over. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Sending a picture of how you donated to some cop association. Yeah. Oh, man. Not a good look. But I'm going to say this is. When I think about, because I was calling it a mistake by Abba's part, but when I think about the fact that I think he knows who his audience is and maybe he could afford to lose the angry pro-black folks in that audience. Like I said, fan of his success, but not his content. The fact that he did that won't change the fact that I won't consume his content or won't take him seriously because I've always known him to be like that. Like that's his thing. That's his alley. So, this is me giving him the benefit of the doubt that I think he knows what he's doing and he probably just couldn't care less of the FD singing fires of the world. But I can imagine that shit is going to bring some kind of consequence. Oh my God. Say no to drugs, kid. Just say no to drugs. But okay, that's where we are. Anyways, yeah. Last but not least. So, I'm going over time, right? But whatever. Fuck it. It's my podcast. If you listened this far, then fuck, you really wanted to listen to this shit. Waiting for you to break, make your first mistake. The title comes from a track by Jay-Z called Streets Is Watching. And it also had me thinking about karma. I'm in a situation at my work. I'm trying to be transparent, but not go into details. But I had a situation at my work that if you're a fan of The Black Guy Who Tips, they have a concept. They have a segment called Fucking With Black People. Well, I had a Fucking With Black People moment at my work. And it was so far, and it's enough for me that it like sent me into a depression. Like it just set me in like rage that turned into depression. Cause there ain't shit I could do about it. Like to me, it was fucking with black people, but to my employer, it was just like a little racism. I mean, just walk it off, buddy. That's what it is. So I've been going through that kind of rage, and I've been old me. Who used to believe in Christianity would have said shit like, not just revenge for the Lord, but old me used to believe in karma. Old me used to believe in the concept of hell. Very young me, naive me believed in hell. And yeah, fuck it, you'll get your own. But now I'm realizing there is no hell. And the possibility that the person who did this harm, the people who did this harm, the idea of them never being punished fucks with me. Drives me nuts. And I haven't had an outlet for it. It just drives me nuts that I haven't been able to accept that. I'm thinking of a line by Scarface. It goes, if God grants you forgiveness, then you handled your business. Yeah, I don't believe in that shit anymore. So, I guess I've been trying to process, go through the idea that make peace with the fact that they might not see the end of their day. But okay, may not see the end. They might not see any vengeance, but I've been holding on to that line of, but now I'm like, I feel like Jay-Z, Streets Is Watching. Waiting for you to break, make your first mistake. Like maybe one day someone's going to come forward and say, hey, that happened to me too. I might have my own Me Too movement. But until then, I can't like hope for the... I can't wait for them to make a mistake. Like, I mean, I hope for it, but it's not something I can't spend the rest of my life Like, this shit may not end with them being, we should not have fucked with you. You know what I mean? Like, it's try to accept that. Waiting for you to break, make your first mistake. That's, yeah, another reason I was crossing my mind. Now, this next one is a stretch because I was thinking about how I had a moment today where I realized that I just realized that a part of me feels shame for allowing this moment to put me in a weak position. Like, I'm ashamed of it. I remember actually trying to explain the story to a friend at the barbershop, and the way they reacted, they were like, what the fuck? How the fuck could you allow that shit to happen? How can you let them do that to you? Had it been me, granted, this person does not work in an office environment, but that's a different story. Anyway, had it been me, I would like, I remember, it's not them that sent me, but a part of me agreed with that notion with how the fuck did you allow this shit to happen to you? And I finally made sense of what my therapist was saying about forgiving yourself. Because I remember being confused by what she meant by that. Sorry, that was me turning on the light. I remember being confused by why she meant, like, I'm full of anger. I'm like, fuck, I want vengeance. Fuck this. I want you to tell me, okay, you angry? Here's some karate class. Here's a gun. I'm going to prescribe a gun for you. Whatever. You know what I mean? I want you. Here's some Molotov cocktail shit like that. Like, I want to hear fire and brimstone shit. Call up Farrakhan. I want you to call members of the Nation of Islam. I mean, not the Nation, but the Fruit of Islam. And we going to fuck some people up. That's what I wanted. And she's talking about forgive yourself. Forgive me? What the fuck? What are you talking about? Forgive myself for what? And it finally hit me today how a part of me is ashamed. It's like, you know, the fact that the progress that I've made is the fact that I could talk about it before. Before, I would have never been able to admit it out loud, especially on this microphone. But a part of me is ashamed of that, allow myself being in this situation. A part of me is ashamed that, actually, I'm going to send a shout out to the podcast movie because they asked a question. Because that's how I finally managed to think about it or realize this is they asked the question, have you ever made a change to your podcast, willing or not? And it just had me thinking about how I'm here. The previous iteration of this podcast, I call it the Old Testament, or you could call it version 1.0 of Shut Up Podcast. I had made it to 164 episodes. But after a certain point, after 100, I'd reached a point where podcasting wasn't fun. I didn't enjoy myself. I ended up spending more time on someone else's podcast than my own. But basically, I didn't enjoy recording my own podcast. And this is what I wrote. I said that after 164 episodes, not recording for years, and then surviving depression. I remember writing that and saying that, oh, that's right. I did go through a depression. Now, I don't know if I'm using the right word because it wasn't like I wasn't clinically depressed. Like I wasn't not a psychiatrist who said I was depressed, but I was going through a phase where I was like, fuck it. Burn the world down. I was just, you know, but after I call it surviving that. I called it a depression caused by life and being black. Yeah, there was a shame in saying that. I didn't like being the one black. Like, I don't know any other black person. Every black person I know survived being the Jackie Robinson of the world. I feel like I'm the one black person who, his feelings got hurt. Who went into a depression because he got tired of being called the N-word. Or being society's the N-word. He just got tired of racism. There's a lot of shame in. There was a lot of shame. I'm thinking of a scene in This Is Us. There's father's going dealing with sobriety, he's an alcoholic, and he finally goes into the AA meetings, and there's a scene where the shit's kicking his ass, And he gets on his knees and he starts praying. Actually, he says that chant about Father, give me the strength to accept the things that I can't change or change the things. You know, that prayer, right? And he's on his knees and his son is staring at him. And the look of, the way I interpreted that scene is, I'm like, ah, shit, you think your father's being weak. Like, he's looking at him like, ah, man, my father's a bitch-ass nigga. There's a scene in The Sopranos. One of the characters, fuck it, man. If you haven't seen The Sopranos, spoiler alert, one of the characters, Christopher, he's dealing with sobriety and how everyone, how he's going through the program and everything, but he's surrounded by people who think he's weak for letting a little alcohol get to him. Everyone else got their own fucking problems, but everyone's looking, like they get to use his alcohol, his addiction as a reason to say, ah, look at you, you're weak. And I guess what I'm trying to get at is sometimes it happens, man. You got to get to this point and accept the fact that, okay, fine. The world thinks you're weak, but you got to deal with it. Anyways, yeah, so I was ashamed of that I allowed being black to send me into a depression. I didn't like bringing it up, but it fucking is what it is. What did, I was going to say Alec Baldwin, but James Baldwin. Holy fuck. I stuck at remembering people's name. James Baldwin. You don't face the problems. It won't get addressed. Sometimes you got to be able to address the fact that, yeah, you got to get on your knees and admit the fact that this shit is kicking your ass. Once you can get to that point that this shit is kicking your ass, then you start figuring out solutions to, okay, how do I kick its ass? Anyway, let me finish reading what I said. I said, yeah, after 164 episodes, not recording for years, and then surviving a depression caused by life and being black, I found myself starting over. This era of my podcast is called A New Testament, and every episode is like my version of Frank Sinatra's My Way. That's the biggest thing about this iteration of Shut Up Podcast. It's I'm doing it my way. If you've heard the manifesto, the first episode of Shut Up Podcast, I talked about how, yeah, I'm done treating my audience like the girl I'm trying to fuck. I'm being me, and if you choose to get on this ride, I'm grateful for it. It helps me figure things out about, like, oh, okay, maybe that's what I'm... My dick might get hard at the idea that people are like, hey, I think you're cool, or I think I'm good. It's not that I'm trying to be cool. Is I can connect to what you're saying. I've been there. I know what you mean. I'm also trying to change. Had to face my biggest demon that put me to shame. I had to face my. Basically, I had to find power in vulnerability. If you can connect to those kind of concepts, then trust me when I tell you, I appreciate you. So that's where I'm at. Okay, last point about today's title. What's up with the title? Especially how I read such a small part of that song. It's a long, you know, there's a lot of verse. It's a dope track, but, you know, I only read the part that says, when the streets is watching, blocks keep clocking. I was thinking about how, I'm going to talk about ABBA again, is how I don't envy his situation. In a sense that he's in a position where a lot of, because, you know, he's got a successful podcast. And there's a lot of haters out there who are like, yeah, we're waiting for you to get canceled. We're waiting for you to get fucked up. I won't lie. I was probably in that demographic too. I'm like, you're fucking, if these singing fires calling you a coon, you must have fucked up. But that's why I found myself, oh man, batteries are dying again on my headphones. Yeah, that's when I started giving him credit. It's like, you know, I'm sure he's doing what he believes he needs to do. But I started thinking about how, I haven't lived a life where a bunch of people are preying on my downfall. are looking forward to my downfall. I haven't lived like, I'm sure there's someone out there, you know, probably likely wears a hood or shit like that. But I am not in his, I don't envy his situation. I don't think I can handle that kind of pressure. It's like one false move and I lose it all kind of situation like that. Yeah, I'm connected with him as a human being because I've seen him before. I've interacted with him and everything like that. So it's easy for me to see the, to look at it, the human side of it. Look, I don't deny he gets what's coming to him. But the point of being in this situation, like I do not end, like I think about how I had my little crisis, my depression. And the notion, the idea that someone, not to say that he's in the same situation, I'm saying, I think about the idea of someone being out there and going, good, fuck B Black. What? He's depressed? Did he kill himself? Fuck. Maybe he'll do it tomorrow. Like, someone's out there is like, I hope that nigga gets fired. I hope, like, I haven't lived a life for that to happen. If I do have people who hate me, it's because they don't know me. And they never had any intention of getting to know me. Like, they don't have the capability to get to know me. Like, I haven't lived a life where, let's say I had a successful podcast, and I pissed someone off, and they're out there going, fuck that. Like, I hope the worst happens to that. Like, it's I'm trying to associate it with the title of waiting for you to break. Like, I don't know if there's people out there who are waiting for me to break. I mean, I broke down once, but to break again. I don't know. Like, it's kind of a scary thought to live like that, but I guess that's, I remember telling that to my therapist about how I think I do have that fear of success. Being in that position where people are out there just waiting for you to, that's success. That's part of it. Someone out there is just like, ooh, praying for your downfall. Like, waiting. Like, it's shit. Like, you going down, you losing it is their entertainment. It's what gets their dick hard. It's like, ah, ha, 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 yeah. Fuck that nigga. Puh, whatever. I guess in the end, I'm just trying to say that, you know, I was, I don't wish ill will on ABBA. He did a thing that I didn't like, that someone else, another podcaster, didn't like, and he's gonna get called, you know, and it's gonna look, I guess, you know what, I think I'm just gonna end this with saying that, you know, I hope this works out. I'm sure he's gonna be okay, whatever result, like, he's gonna rebrand, like, no, he's that brother's been through a lot in his life. Like, I've that podcast that he's doing is just the tip of the iceberg. Like, he's I've read about him before, how he bought his mom a house, you know. Like, anyways, I'm just trying to say that even though I may disagree with him, he's in a somewhat bad situation. I mean, fuck you doing defending a white boy. And whatever. No, sorry. I don't know Destiny personally, but I know it's like he's done some good shit. But, you know, but you pissed off empty Singifier. Shit's gonna happen. Who knows? What are the odds this shit ends like Jay-Z and Nas? Whatever. I'm trying to put a positive twist. I'm trying to sound like the inside. Okay, you know what it is? I'm trying to not be like everyone else. It's like, take a side. Like, what needs to happen will happen. I'm acknowledging that. I'm realizing that I'm being a little centrist. But, no, I mean, yeah, no, I'm on the side of, like, everything black. I'm rooting for black folks. I don't know. I don't have any intelligent conclusion to say about this. I'm just going to. It's just an interesting situation to be in, scenario. That's what blew my mind at the beginning. Wait, yeah, Monday morning, that image, just like, wow. I went from wow to hearing to being 8 minutes overtime on this podcast. All right, with that said, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Yo, thank you for listening. As usual, holler at me if, on my DMs on Twitter. I say Twitter, but fuck, I hate Twitter, man. I hate its owner, Elon Musk. It's like, I swear this dude is like looking for ways to have the world hate him. Or maybe he's always been a shitty human being and the money just masked it all. But yeah, man. Anyways, I fucking hate giving you business. But until Elon Musk brings Twitter to the ground, you can holler at me on Twitter at either at bblizak or at shutuppodcast. Or, this is a new thing I'm going to do, on TikTok, I'm on that social media. Now, if I was consistent like most social media, I'd give you the same username, but I don't think that far. On Twitter, I am b.black. I'm trying to remember the name of I'm trying to remember the name of my my username on it is b.black, b.black. But you know what? I'm talking a lot of shit. If you're not on social media, fuck, go to my website. Go to the Shut Up Podcast website, shutuppodcast.com. You can find the show notes for this episode and every episode on the website. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to Google and Apple Podcasts. You know, I had a thought. I'm considering on starting a podcast network, but that's to be continued. Maybe I'm talking shit. Anyway, whatever. Subscribe. Yeah. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. I mean it from the bottom of my heart, especially if you stuck around for the extra 10 minutes. And yeah. And as always, remember, be kind to your favorite podcasts. Y'all, peace.